Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. I'm always good. I'm always great. I'm always having a nice time. I'm always not causing any bother. I'm always playing nice, as my grandma used to say. Are you playing nice? Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Nan. Good on you. No, I'm good. I am keeping well. Chris, I have a terrible, terrible admission. A terrible, terrible thing to admit to you.
You've never watched Abroad in Japan.
It's kind of connected, to be honest, mate. I've still not got round to watching the Nagakin capsule.
You're a disgrace.
The problem is, Chris, I've been really busy. I had COVID, and then I had a week where I was just in every day recording podcasts. I just haven't had time. And I haven't. My favourite bit of YouTube, having a YouTube premium subscription, is having a bit of tea, sitting down and watching 45 minutes of YouTube, and your little face keeps popping up on my algorithm every single day saying, Pete, why have you forsaken me? But I've just not had time to sit down and enjoy it in the way it should be enjoyed. And my personal, not my personal life, but my personal environs was an absolute shit pit, if you don't mind me using some rather fruity language. I was in a situation where, like, the entirety of my little cabin at the end of the garden where I do all my work was an absolute tip, and I needed to sort it out. So I've sorted it out now. I can finally today sit down and watch the Nagakin Capsule Apartment Tour, which from the thumbnail looks top class.
I'm very disappointed because whenever I produce a video or a podcast, I expect every man, woman, child, friend, family, animal alike to watch my videos there and then without question. And you haven't done that. The only reason I might let you off is you had COVID-19 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I did have COVID-19. I mean, I had COVID-19 so late in the day. I feel like I thought I'd escaped getting it. Got double jabbed, and then I got... I think I might have COVID-20. I might have the new one.
COVID-20.
Yeah.
Well, times 20 by 2, add 7, and you get 47. And that is the number of prefectures I've now seen across Japan. As of this week, I've been to every single prefecture in Japan. Well, hey.
Chris, that's amazing. Well done, mate. Fantastic. Yeah.
It's a cool way to celebrate my 9-year anniversary of YouTube. As I mentioned, I think I went away, right, the last week with Connor, Seadog VA, to do our wacky weekend video, which is where we go away for a weekend and do something wacky, although it's never, ever a weekend when we film. So it's all built on a lie. It should be wacky weekday. Yeah. But anyway, we went to Shikoku, the island of Shikoku, which is just one big pile of mountains and a few cities. But it was cool. We went to Tokushima and Kochi, which are the two prefectures, my last outstanding prefectures. I've been everywhere now. I can tell you everything, all the facts, all the knowledge about any prefecture in Japan. Ask me a question, I'll impress you. Go. Any prefecture.
Oh, a prefecture. Is Kitakyushu a prefecture or just Kyushu? That's a whole kind of ward.
That's an island. Kyushu's an island.
That's an island, isn't it? I don't know any of the prefectures. Tokyo prefecture. Greater Tokyo.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Never mind.
I mean, but the point is, I've been everywhere. I'm very smug about it. And the video was actually a nightmare to shoot, and it wasn't.
Oh,
why? It was fun,
what were you,
but then not.
What were you getting up to? What was the situation?
Well, we had a typhoon, believe it or not, another typhoon, and we were in the middle of nowhere, and it was just the rain was horrendous, and there were a lot of landslides across the region, and it was all pretty treacherous. And on one of the days, I think the first day, we went over a rope bridge made of wood. With massive gaps between each plank. And if you've seen Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom, do you know, have you seen it where he's like crossing the dicey wooden bridge and then he cuts it with
the sword?
Yeah,
but he's not carrying like some special rocks, is it? You're not carrying special flaming rocks, are you? No one's trying to chop it down or anything like that.
I'm pretty certain this dodgy rope bridge was not made for a 83 kilogram British guy. But it was so scary. And there was a gushing river below, the likes of which the world has never seen. This river, because it was like flooded and there was rain and everything, it was like hell. I thought they'd shut the bridge. Like, this was the this is a good time to not open a dodgy footbridge. But we went over it. It was the scariest thing I think I've ever done, and that's going to be fun. We also went to this scarecrow village where there's a little village populated by, I think, 30 humans and 200 scarecrows knitted from wool and nostalgia.
Why? Is there a situation in every prefecture or town or village in Japan where a man or a woman has decided to make their life a little bit more, like a little better, just by stitching together, sewing together, nailing together a lot of humans that look weird? just people just let them get on with it. But do you want to just make some tatty, rotten figurines and stick them in a park? Yeah, cool. Do it. Do it, Dave. Nothing else going on.
Seriously, it is mental. Like you to get to this village, you drive down the most remote road I've ever been down in my life for about 2 hours in the rain. There was rocks falling down a cliff on the long way, almost smashing into our car.
Wow,
really terrifying.
It's like Indiana Jones.
It was literally Indiana Jones. And then you turn a corner, and there were four scarecrows, two elderly women, and like a child face down in the mud with the rain. pouring down.
Whoa,
it looked
steady.
Like war crimes. It looked like something out of like a bloody documentary. It was really rough.
Whoa,
and
Chris, are you not running out of stuff to do in Japan? There's always some nonsense going on. Oh, we've just discovered a theme park that looks like Antwerp. That's like the buildings are absolutely massive, and they've got space for that. It's only a little island. Imagine if they were as big as China. They'd be there for years, just building tat.
I'm getting desperate, quite clearly. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's going to be a good video and everyone's going to love it. But we'll see. Connor was in good form. And then we ended it by going to the worst rated hotel in all of Shikoku that Connor could find on booking.com. It was a surprise to celebrate going to all 47 prefectures. Connor was going to surprise me on the last day. And I thought, it's going to be like the best spa, a castle. A beach with cocktails, and he got the worst rated hotel in Shikoku. And I don't think even the cockroaches would have gone to this fucking hotel. There was so much mold. There was blood all over the sheets. It was so rough.
There was not
was really
blood
bad.
All over the sheets.
There was
Come
blood on,
on
the. There was blood on the
even
sheets.
Even the worst Japanese, house person,
no.
Proprietor would still have the pride in his or her heart not to have blood
not
on the
one.
Sheets. Not this one.
This was a 5-point. This was like a number 5 on Booking.com. 5 out of 10. I have never been to a hotel or seen a hotel in Japan that's got less than a 7. And now I know how you get a 5. You make somewhere like this. There was blood splattered all over the wall as well. It looked like someone had taken a bloody samurai sword, chopped someone's arm off, and it sprayed all up the wall, like Tarantino. It was grim, and it smelled of mould. And after 2 hours, Connor and I gave up. We stormed out at 1 a.m. It was really embarrassing.
Stormed out at 1 a.m.?
It was really
bad.
You
just got another hotel?
Yep. Absolutely.
What meant? You're already in the bloodied sheets. You're already in there. Like, what made you leave? Am I spoiling the video a little bit? Are we waiting for the video to come out?
The blood might have been part of it, but I wouldn't.
The blood
spoil
might
too
have
much.
Been part of it, right? Okay.
But it's when you see blood on. So hang on, wait a minute. No, if you saw blood on your bed sheets and mold on your pillow, do you think you'd stay in a hotel? That hotel.
I once stayed in a hotel where my friend and cohabitor lad got lucky with a lady, and I, unbeknownst to me, he'd taken her back to our shared hotel room, right?
Oh, God.
And unbeknownst to him, she was on, and it all over the place. Light switches, bed sheets, walls.
Oh, good God.
And I came back to that and I went, I'm not staying here.
Or, probably this
if I'm
going
to stay here, you need to clean that up, please. Thank you.
What's this hotel room in Shikoku by any chance?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, good point. I'm not going to dox anyone. I'm not going to, you know, make it clear who it is. But yeah, it was, I mean, the least you can do is not have blood everywhere, I would say, when you go into a hotel.
it was banned. And then I remember at one point, Connor was really insistent. We tear the room apart and look in every place. And he lifted the bed.
He's a bit of me. I like this. Connor is a bit of me. You just want to get it. You want to just stare into the abyss, and you want to jam your hand into the abyss, and you want to wiggle your arm around in the abyss. And I think that's why I like Connor, because he gets on your gut.
That's why I hate Connor. And also, I was like, let's just not look anywhere. Don't look under the bed. Don't open the doors. Don't look behind the curtains. Don't lift the mattress. He did all of that, and we found so much stuff: used masks, paraphernalia. It was bad. It was bad. So that's a video you've got to look forward to at some point.
Fun
in the next week or two. We've got another video as well with Natsuki Treasure Island. I don't know if you remember, like a long time ago, Natsuki and I filmed this game for an island and then didn't release it. I don't know why we didn't release it, but we didn't. I think it came at a busy time with Journey Across Japan, and I wanted to get that done first.
I thought that was the start of it all, right? I thought it was the start of Journey Across Japan.
It's going to be a prequel. We've done it like Star Wars.
Lovely.
Did Journey Across Japan. Now we're going back and doing Natsuki with... And the best thing is, Natsuki's got his whole pirate uniform, because this was before he lost it in the waterfall in that tragic incident. Oh.
Is that so? When Natsuki's trousers fell off, his little Beetlejuice pirate trousers, was that part? That's not part of that video. That was part of another video, wasn't it?
Unrelated, yeah. This video that's coming out was shot before that and just unreleased. So it's going to be emotional seeing those pirate pants before they
Well, in the same way that Disney are very much into jettisoning the actor that played Captain Jack Sparrow, maybe Natsuki could step into the the vacuum, the power vacuum, so to speak.
Imagine that, Natsuki casted as Jack Sparrow. It's the only way the series could be revitalised and given a new and exciting original edge.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
Absolutely. We've got a story this week, though, from Samantha. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Hope you're both doing well. My name's Samantha, and I've been living and working in Tokyo for the last 3 years. Part of the beauty of living in Japan, as Chris would know, and Pete would not, is being able to traverse this amazing country and experience staying at traditional Japanese ryokans. On one of my more recent trips, I did a short stay at a ryokan in Gunma Prefecture. Somehow, despite being a frequent guest at ryokan and onsen, I found myself breaking all of the rules on this trip by accident. I recently got a new tattoo." Tattoos? In anywhere in Japan? No, dear. "It's not my first tattoo, and I've managed to work around my onsen trips thus far. But naturally, I was quite nervous. For our first night, my Japanese husband and I booked the private bath, but we also went to check out the communal one out of curiosity. With the male and female hot springs being separate, the next morning I woke up at 6 a.m. and thought I could sneak in and use the communal bath before anyone else was awake. Our rooms only have toilets and a basin, so you literally can't shower or clean yourself without going to the communal bath. I looked around the dressing area and there was no one there, so I put my phone and room key in the locker for safekeeping and started to take out my toothbrush, face wash, etc. A minute later, two men walked in." Oh, God. "They're obviously confused and embarrassed and apologised to me and leave. It takes me 2 seconds to realise that I'm much more likely to have made a mistake than the two Japanese men. I go outside and realise the fabric curtain on it says men in Japanese kanji characters. It was then that I realised I'd entered the same onsen that I did yesterday, forgetting that ryokans usually alternate the genders so guests can experience both baths of the building."
Oh, they changed they changed the towels. I didn't know that. So they changed the fabric over so the men's become the women and the women becomes the men.
Exactly. So so you can kind of experience both of the baths in the inn on one stay.
Yeah.
Because they're a little bit women different
can
sometimes.
Women can constantly experience bad toilets because we don't know how to point Percy at the porcelain.
Oh, God. It was then that I realised that I'd entered the same onsen that I did yesterday. I grabbed everything and ran outside while simultaneously simimasening the increasing amount of men waiting outside for me to leave. Oh, God. I now headed into the women's onsen. After undressing, I realised my second mistake. I had left my phone, oh God, my phone and my room key in the locker in the men's onsen. Because of this, I couldn't even return to my room or call for my husband to come help me. I went outside and waited for the next man to come and verbally prostrate myself in Japanese and explain the situation. He looks at me like I'm crazy, but reluctantly helps me, and I was lucky to get my phone and key back. After all this stress, actually showering in a public space with a tattoo was a breeze. I made sure to sit in a corner where my tattoos were facing the wall, and I didn't even go into the actual bath itself. I wanted to get out as fast as possible. I left the onsen, went to the waiting area. There's a pair of underwear on the table. It was mine. I must have left it in the men's room as well. Moral of the story, always pay attention to the colour and the kanji written on the curtain before you walk into a hot spring. All the best, guys. Samantha. And that is something I've said before. There's only two kanji characters you need to know. And that's male and female.
Rice is field that's power. Paddy field power is the men's and the other one is obviously women. I do like the fact that I like the my Japanese husband and I reminds me of the Eels track, My Beloved Monster and Me. My beloved monster and me, my Japanese husband and I. I didn't realise that they switched over the little bits of fabric. So that's something to have a think about.
I mean, I wonder how many people have been screwed over by that. But
yes.
I think I've made that mistake. There's no doubt about it.
And to like, and if you're outside and you're just like handing over a locker key to a dude, like that dude might be like, "Are you committing some kind of crime? Am I kind of party to some? Am I helping here? Am I an accessory to theft?"
I just feel all these guys. It must have been so awkward, like walking out, and there's like 10 men just waiting there, standing, waiting for their turn, waiting to be allowed in. Because of one girl. But well done, Samantha. I'm glad you got out of it in one piece. But yeah, be careful. I always forget which colour's which. I think red is for men and blue is for women. Right. But I might go it the wrong way around.
I mean, the fact that you know that the colour situation is red, and because red and blue here would be men and women, wouldn't it? In the West, kind of like red, pink for women and blue for men. If you're kind of aware that there is a bit of a switcheroo, I would say that you're probably right on that one.
Switcheroo.
Fascinating.
They're called Norem. These curtains, these fabric dividers are called Norem.
Neither use nor ornament, though, are they, really? They don't do anything. They're just to keep a bit of the air in, a bit of the air out.
Them. Okay, I got it wrong. I got it wrong. Blue is for men and red
blue's for men.
Is for women. So
like
bear that in mind.
Then. Okay.
Yes. Well, speaking of making a blunder, this week, the mayor of Nagoya.
All of our stories are about making blunders, aren't they, really?
They have been recently.
Very clear.
It's because like all the high-ranking officials in Japan are always men. And they're usually very old. And they're like over 70. And they make mistakes. I mean, this mistake, I was a bit torn at first, but then I don't know. You'd be the judge. Mm. You've probably heard about this. You might have heard it in the UK. In fact, I'm curious if it was reported in the UK. So obviously the Olympics are over, and one of Japan's politicians, the mayor of my favourite city, Nagoya, that I've definitely always bigged up in our podcast.
Yeah, I always love that Nagoya place. Yeah,
there's so many great things in Nagoya. There's the tree of Nagoya.
The tree. What's the tree on Nagoya tree? Yeah.
All right, they've got chicken wings. We get so many people from Nagoya who hate me because I slag it off. It's just, there's nothing there. It's like where you go to hide and go off the grid. When I commit a crime, when I commit murder, I will go to Nagoya and become a part of the society there and blend in and secretly disappear.
But whatever I do, I've noticed in Nagoya. What's that about? A lot of South Americans.
I don't know why. I think, I don't know, maybe because there's a big Japanese population that went to Brazil, wasn't there, in the early 1900s?
Mm. But why? And maybe they're from Nagoya. Confusing. Yeah.
We're making some assumptions, but
we are.
What I do know is that the mayor of Nagoya made a pretty big blunder this week when he ate a gold medal that had been won by, I can't believe he did this. Basically, Nagoya mayor Takashi Kawamura took a bite out of Miyu Goto's gold medal. She won a gold medal for the women's Olympic softball team. And to celebrate that, she went and saw the mayor on August the 4th. And there was a big press conference. And he put the medal on round his neck. And he was like, yeah, well done, well, hey. And then he took down his mask and he put his teeth around the medal. And he took a great big bite of the medal. And he gave it back to her. And then 7,000 people decided to complain about his behaviour. But it wasn't just that. I think he also said something like, do you have a boyfriend? And sort of made some remarks.
Yeah, that's the creepy bit, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I saw, we did get this story in the England. And when, you know, people win their medals, they usually have a little chomp, don't they? It's like, it's real or something. But if you didn't win that medal, you're not allowed to do that. You shouldn't be doing that. But no. I don't think it should have been that much of an outcry. I don't think the IOC should have had to have replaced the medal thanks to...
So they gave her a new medal, right? After
that? Yeah. They gave her a new medal after the mayor had a little chomp. It's not like he damaged it with his... How damaging are his teeth? Old diamond teeth. Takashi Kumura, like chomping her on a bloody medal. I don't know how managed to do it.
I did scrutinise the close-up footage of the medal to see if I could see any bite marks, and unfortunately there were none. That would be so cool as a medal. But, like, yeah, they replaced it. I can't believe that. The Olympic committee were like, don't worry, we'll get you another one. Ignore the silly man.
But ignore the silly man.
As a result, he's decided to forfeit 3 months' pay, totalling 1.5 million yen, about $13,000. Right. He did a big apology, saying he disgraced the occasion and offended Goto and the Japanese people. And he bowed a lot and apologised for that. And he said he'd also received training on harassment following the incident. What does that mean? How does that work? No, how do you get trained not to harass someone?
I don't think you get much training in Japan about not harassing people. I'm surprised at how much money he makes out of being a mayor. Is that 50 grand, 55 grand, something like that?
Well, 3 months is $13,000, so times that by four, and you get a number. Yeah.
Number.
Come on, maths.
Yeah,
Come on.
Well, no, but I took it down to like four grand a month times 12. It's pretty much cracking on for 50 grand, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think that he would be... Yeah, but you think he'd be on more than that, wouldn't you? He's the mayor.
For the mayor of a city of like
of
5
Nagoya.
Million people. Yeah.
They must have other things, and they must have other irons in the fire, as most successful politicians do.
Or gold in the mouth, as I like to say.
God, that's probably why he was chomping it. Right? He wanted a bit of the... If I just get a little bit, maybe it'll make a lovely ring. Get a little bit under my tooth cuticles.
Scraped the shavings of gold out of his mouth. Nom, nom, good nom. God. But yeah, he also made some comments, which were inappropriate, I think, where he sort of said, do you have a boyfriend? And that kind of twinned with the eating of the gold medal. It all added up to one big mistake. I think if this had happened like outside of COVID, I think you might have got away with it. I think it was the fact that we got COVID going on and it's not going so well in Japan at the moment. Anything involving hygiene is always going to be a bad move. And that's why I'm amazed he did it. Like, what was he thinking? Again, what goes through the minds of some of these politicians to think they can get away with such ridiculous activity? He doesn't need so much harassment coaching. He needs PR coaching. Or maybe it's the same.
Looking at his Wikipedia record, while serving as the Japanese representative of Nagoya, he made some statements about the denial of the Nanjing massacre, obviously a big situation between the Chinese and Japanese relations. He also demanded the removal of an art exhibition about the Comfort Woman statue. The Korean Comfort Women, obviously a big hot topic between Korea and Japan. He sounds like his river of problems, problematic river things and statements. So, you know, goes a lot deeper than just having a chomp on a gut. So maybe just people have had a fucking enough of him.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. He was quoted as saying, "You should marry a nice guy. Are you prohibited from having romance?"
Right.
I don't think they're prohibited,
cool.
Are they?
He sounds not an idol cool. Group. No.
What a muppet. There you go.
What a muppet. What an idiot.
But I wonder if she gets to, I wonder if Gottelsand gets to keep both medals. That'd be a bonus, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the chomped Bite one and the unchomped medal. One. Yeah. Yeah, two gold medals. Thank you.
Cash it in. That'd be a very cathartic, happy ending, wouldn't it? Keep both medals.
Yeah, it goes on the your record.
Absolutely, but there you go. I love just the title. I love the outcry of this, Medal Munching Mayor. Look at that, Medal Munching
beautiful
Mayor.
Beautiful alliteration, very enjoyable.
But he's kept
There'll
his
There'll be
job.
An anime of him by the end of the year.
There will be up the there with the Carlos mayor. Ghosn anime. Yeah, Medal Munching Mayor. His superpowers include munching on medals and
yeah,
mild
he
sexual
cars
harassment.
And stuff. Yeah. They'll probably whitewash that out, to be honest.
Dear, oh dear. But yeah, Japan did really well, and well done to Miyu Goto. Yeah. Nice work. Fantastic. We'll be back with the fax machine, your questions and comments in a moment.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's
pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, speak of the devil, the Nakagin devil, or Nakagin, rather. Kieran from Portsmouth has got in touch. Lovely part of the world. Dear Chris and Pete, my name is Kieran from Portsmouth. I very much enjoyed your latest video, Chris, of the Nakagin capsule tower. Actually, is it Nakagin rather than Nakagin? It's Nakagin, isn't it?
Oh, I made that mistake wrong for years. I'm really embarrassed by it. Shocking.
And I, too, am absolutely gutted that it will be coming to an end. So my question to you, Chris and Pete, have you ever been to any cool filming locations in Japan, or are there any other locations you would like to go to? All the best, Kieran from Portsmouth. Have you spent... I mean, you must have done every single last one, surely. All the famous ones.
All 47 prefectures, mate. Before that, what was your favourite moment from the Nakagin capsule tower video, Pete?
If you had one moment. I liked the bit where you slid down the laundry chute, landed in a pile of laundry and went, that's a wrap.
One day, landed in a pile of laundry and asbestos crumbling from the ceiling. Honestly, there's some shots in that video where you really see how stuffed the building is. Like, the inside is pretty horrific.
Yeah.
You'd love it, though. You'd love it. It's
like the studio I've built. Just a lot
it's
of...
it's like your studio.
Rockwool. But instead of asbestos, it's rockwool, which, as of now, we don't know whether it is carcinogenic.
Rockwool.
But they're fairly certain it isn't.
Oh, God. I mean, cool filming locations. I've been everywhere, but there's still a few places. Hmm. I would like to go... There's a dam called the Kurobe Dam. I think it's the biggest dam in Japan. But to get there, you have to go up like four different trains, up a mountain range and then over the mountain. And it's so inaccessible that you have to sort of go up a mountain, then down a mountain, and then into this valley. And I don't know, it's just... seems kind of cool and romantic. It's in the North Japan Alps, I think. And I've got a weird obsession with the Japan Alps because every time I go and see them, they're never there because they're in the clouds. So right. I want to go and see them. I want to climb them. And I also want to go to Nikko in Tochigi, which is a really famous, it's a pretty big tourist attraction, Nikko. The Tokugawa Ieyasu, Japan's most infamous ruler, is buried there. And it's supposed to be a really beautiful place, but for whatever reason, I've never been. And also, there's a UFO museum in Fukushima, not too far from Sendai, that I'm very interested to go and see. Apparently, they've got official CIA documents from the 1940s and 50s there, and a few other things.
Why have they got them there in Japan?
So this, there's like
they
a little...
weren't friends back then, were they?
they really weren't. In the 50s, they were kind of pretty good friends, I think, but...
Right.
Yeah, there's a mountain in Fukushima where they always see UFOs, and it's a really odd shaped mountain. It's shaped like a triangle, like every mountain.
Shaped like UFO. it's there again.
They claim there's a lot of UFO activity there, so they built this UFO museum, and it's always in the press at the moment. It's in the press quite a lot recently.
Oh,
what with all the UFO disclosure stuff going on, that I've taken a weird obsession to. So I'd like to go there, poke around, see what documents there are. So yeah, a dam, Tokugawa Ieyasu, and a UFO museum. That's the three things I've got left to see.
That sounds so cool. I fancy going to those. I like the fact that you go to see the dam, you've got to get on two or three trains. And like trains are not known for their sort of inclined climbing skills, really. And yet you've got to go on three trains across a mountain range.
Well, I think you have to get a train up the mountain, then you get on a bus, and that takes you through a massive tunnel. And then there's a cable car that you have to get on. So it's like a multitude of transportation. It takes like 2 or 3 hours to get to the dam. And it's on one of Japan's highest mountains. And it looks absolutely stunning.
I'm enjoying Speaking of like trying to sort of traverse unbelievable topography, I'm enjoying the fact that some really learned, intelligent, well-read and important people are sort of weighing in on a Twitter conversation that was just literally just written by an idiot.
Right.
Obviously, Kabul's fallen to the Taliban. They've taken over there, and they're basically talking about the fact that obviously China are going to step in, as they always do, in these kind of like disputed regions, because they can get a bit of, you know, it's that kind of debt debt empire that they sort of build effectively.
And
somebody sort of just drew a stupid fucking pipeline from China right the way through Afghanistan to Iran, going, this is going to be the biggest oil pipeline ever. And then all of these really, really well-read, you know, these experts on, you know, the tribes in Afghanistan are going, eh, that's not going to happen because it's political. Not going to happen because there's loads of tribes and they'll just fucking blow it up. And three, have you looked at the topography of where that pipeline is going to go? It's just like this big fucking mountain range and stuff. He's going, it's not going to work, you idiots. So it just made me laugh that like some random dick can just sort of go, look at what's going to happen here. And these people who really shouldn't be wasting their time on idiots on the internet sort of going, well, this is why this won't work. This is why this
Welcome to Twitter. I hate Twitter so much. Twitter's where like people who don't need to give their opinions on everything, and it just drives me mad. I saw a really interesting story about a Welsh guy who just went on holiday to Afghanistan last month, and woe is me, he got caught up in it all because of everything going on there, and I think he had to try and get transported out of the country. They tried to give him like passage out of the country. Who goes on holiday to Afghanistan in the midst of everything, a civil war? Seriously. I hope he's not a YouTuber who's exploiting it. That'd be terrible.
Well, I mean, if he is, he sounds like he's had his fucking comeuppance, to be quite frank.
I think he survived, but...
good.
I was with Connor at the time, and who is, of course, Welsh, and I was like, look what you can get away with if you're Welsh. You can go on holiday to Afghanistan. I know, apparently he got captured by the Taliban, and he went, I'm Welsh. And they went, oh, all right, off you go then. So that's, if he said I'm English, would he have got the same treatment? It reminds me of Probably The Last not. King of Scotland, when Idi Amin... runs into James McAvoy in the film, and he's like, where are you from? You're British, I'll kill you. And he's like, I'm Scottish. And he's like, oh, Scotland, I like you. You're my new doctor. Well done. I love that. Wish I was Welsh or Scottish. Get away with anything. Not if you're English. You're stuffed. We got one from Kevin. He says, hello, guys. Kevin from Toronto. I recently listened to the podcast episode where you mentioned that Ryotaro is allergic to alcohol and cannot drink. I was wondering how one handles that situation, given the culture of nomikai, drinking parties. Do you risk becoming an outsider among colleagues? Will co-workers not feel comfortable opening up, or will you get passed up for promotion? All the best, guys. Kevin. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry too much. Honestly, you'll be fine. If Ryotaro can build an empire that stretches the length and breadth of Japan and a network of the likes of which the world has never known, and he could do that all without drinking alcohol, I'm sure you can as well, Kevin. Don't worry. You know, a lot of people don't drink. And I think the whole nomikai culture, the drinking culture, work parties, it's really taken a hit in the last few years, not just because of COVID, but because of changing trends. And younger people don't really want to sit and listen to their boss ramble on about crap while drinking 400 Asahi beers. Like, that was already in decline before COVID. And I think COVID's the final, like, the nail in the coffin, because there's nomikais are few and far between at the moment. But no, really, it won't get in the way, honestly. Just drink non-alcoholic beer and pretend to be drunk, like Ryotaro does. It's really odd. He like acts drunk even though he's had like a non-alcohol beer. So that's the secret. Have you ever done that, Pete? You definitely have.
Well, I've basically seen other people in quite intimate bar situations, just being in the situation where we're at the bar and there's like me and a couple of friends, and then there's like the boss and his two underlings. Even as a person who can't understand a word anyone's saying, I am kind of intrigued and a little bit repulsed by the dynamic, to be quite frank. I'm like, oh, this is rubbish. I'd hate to be in that situation. But your boss just drones on for ages.
Yeah. You see it a lot, and it's not fun. I didn't really enjoy the work parties that I went to as a teacher, because all the teachers just rant about how they hate everyone else. Like, I had a... English department of 11 or 12 teachers, and a lot of them, like half of them, just hated the others, and it was always really awkward. Mm. And then one of them would get drunk and tell me, like, I hate XYZ. And I'd always have that with me. When I was sober and working with the teachers, I'd think, oh, yeah, he told me he hates, he wants to kill the other one. It's just awkward. Yeah. I never really enjoyed it for that reason. But you'll be fine, Kevin. Don't worry. Don't worry. It won't get in your way. It won't stop you for promotion. It'll just save you a lot of money and a lot of hangovers. It's a bonus.
I want to get more stuff done. Yeah, I got a message from Dylan from the UK. Hello, Chris and Pete. Tonight I went to Wagamama's, wherein I tried chicken yakitori and sake for the first time. Given your many years of experience in both the UK and Japan, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on Wagamama's. Is it anywhere near the real deal? Do you prefer other British chains like Kokoro? I'm interested to hear Pete's thoughts too, given his relatively limited experience in Japan, which still trumps my zero experience. Wishing you all the best. Dylan from the UK. Lovely to have you along. Dylan.
I mean, you know, whenever I go back to the UK, which has been no times in the last 200 years, there always seems to be lots of new Japanese restaurants popping up. Mm. Like, it seems to be becoming more and more popular. Wagamama's, when that sprung up, it was kind of good. I liked it. But I took Natsuki there and he was like physically sick after eating some of the gyoza, right? Some of the dumplings. And because they're like tough, chewy, rubbery crap. They get a few things right, like the katsu kare, with the sort of chicken katsu kare. They always got that right, but no, I wouldn't really go to Wagamama's now. The only good thing is you can get things like sake, which you can't, obviously, in most places in the UK. Any thoughts, Pete? Do you get every day, you Wagamama's boy?
I've never had this Kokoro thing before. That sounds fascinating. I've just had a little look on the website. It's Kokoro. Looks classy.
You know what classy Kokoro means, right?
I think it means heart.
Whee, good. Whee. You know what Wagamama means?
No.
It means gluttonous.
Gluttonous.
Or
Wagamama.
Kind of selfish.
Selfish.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound great, does it?
Kind of selfish. Like
restaurant.
Someone who's a bit like...
Hogging the soy sauce.
It's kind of like selfish, self-indulgent. So you can have several meanings, but kind of self-indulgent and selfish. So it's almost a negative word. If you hear someone say it here or refer to someone as a Wagamama, that's it's not good. I love the name, though. It's a pretty cool word, isn't it? Wagamama.
Wagamama.
Right on the money. Right on the money.
Right on the money.
I would love to go back and try it, though, and do a review and take Natsuki. We did actually film Natsuki's response to Wagamamas, but... He made some horrible gagging noises, and I deemed it not fit, not worthy of YouTube.
Put it in the Treasure Island one.
Just cut away. Have a cut away.
In Wagamamas.
Have like a scene where Natsuki's asleep, dreaming, and it has a flashback to Wagamamas where he's gagging on some dumplings. Oh, good God.
There you go.
Dear. The only good place I do know is Shoryu, which is like a ramen chain in central London. But like, yeah, I think... Good. In the UK, you've got to pay big money, unfortunately, for a decent Japanese meal. Whereas in North America, they're a lot more commonplace, from what I understand. Mm. Yeah, but no good thoughts on Wagamamas. That's the takeaway.
I think Wagamamas is probably the first time I'd sort of tasted katsu curry in the world.
It's good that they introduced Japanese cuisine, right?
Yeah, but it's not strict. It's never strictly. It's like one dish out of 15 that'll be in any way kind of Japanese-y, I would say. But I mean, there's plenty. If you're in the capital, or if you're in Manchester or Birmingham, there'll be plenty of places you can go to. Sakanate, Chris recommended me, and I can. Is it Sakanate? Am I thinking?
Sakanate.
Sakanate.
Sakanate means fish.
Yeah,
some sort of fish place. I recommended somewhere to you that I forgot about.
Yeah, it was that. Oh. And although when we went downstairs, like a lot of their... Everyone was Japanese down there, which is, you know, as they say.
It's always a good sign. Yeah.
Great sign. But the thing that made me giggle was like there was just a lot of dead flies around. I was like, oh, this is a sushi place. A lot of dead flies. No. And a lot of like the furnishings were just old sake bottles that they've emptied and just sort of left out to make it look... I think they're just going for some kind of vibe, but instead it just looked a bit rank.
Why were there dead flies everywhere? What's going on there?
I don't know. But it was. But the food was very delicious. Ah. Very, very good. Even though the manager was a bit surly. didn't want us in there.
Oh God! There is a good restaurant I do recommend that I have been to called Engawa, and they do Kobe beef. It's like one of the only places in London you can get Kobe beef. So yeah. For a special occasion, crack out the credit card, go to Engawa, and you'll have one hell of a meal. It's somewhere near
Ham Yard, mate. Remember. Ham Yard Hotel. It's in front of that.
It's around there.
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly, it's around there, where all the restaurants are. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again the next few days, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you again right here on the podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.